Merry Christmas. You all look wonderful tonight in your Christmas best. One of the things about Christmas Eve night is that you could almost feel the anticipation and the excitement. How does the song go? Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. Is that what it's going to be like in your house tonight? Nobody going to bed early tonight. It's because that thing that we've been waiting for is almost here. And that part of Christmas, the excited anticipation of it, that is not new. For generations, Christians have referred to the four Sundays leading up to Christmas as the Advent season, because the word Advent, it comes from a Latin word that means the arrival. And the birth of Jesus was the arrival of something that God's people have been waiting for a long, long time. And here is how the long-awaited arrival of Jesus is announced in the Bible. I want to share it with you. Maybe these scriptures that you're going to see are familiar with you, especially at Christmas time. Especially if you've been joining us at Peter's Creek for the last 4 weeks. Or if you've ever seen Charlie Brown's Christmas special. This is the part that Linus reads, the Christmas story. Here is how the Gospel of Luke records the announcement that Jesus was born. It says in Luke chapter 2, "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord.'" Now, notice how the angel calls Jesus Christ the Lord. The word Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's actually a title that God had used to talk about the one that he was going to send one day. So when the angel calls Jesus the Christ, he's saying, here he is, this baby Jesus, this is the one that you've been waiting for all this time. He's finally here. He's finally arrived. But also notice that Christ the Lord is not the only title that the angel gives to Jesus. The angel also calls Jesus a Savior. You see how he calls him a Savior? Now, a Savior is only necessary when there's something that you need to be saved from. A Savior is only necessary when you need to be rescued from something. Like if you were swimming in the shallow end of a pool and the lifeguard jumped in and grabbed you and said, "I saved you," you might say, "Well, actually, I was doing fine on my own. I know how to swim. It's only 3 feet deep over here." In that situation, you don't need a Savior because you can handle it on your own. You only need a Savior when you can't handle it on your own. When I was a kid growing up, a little kid, there was a rule in our household, a basic rule that my parents gave for my younger brother and I, and it was no baseball in the house. It's a very reasonable rule for two little boys. Maybe you have some obvious rules like that in your house. But if you and your brother are anything like me and my brother, a rule like that makes us want to play baseball in the house even more. So on this one particular morning, my dad had already left the house for work. My mom had just gotten into the shower to get ready for the day. And my brother and I thought, this is the perfect opportunity to play baseball in the house. So we grabbed our gloves. We started throwing the baseball around the living room. And at first we were very cautious and gentle. But then, as we kept playing, we got more and more bold with our throws. We started throwing the ball harder and harder. You can see where this is going, right? On one fateful throw, I threw the ball a little too hard and a little too far for my brother to catch it. And then we both watched in slow motion as the ball ricocheted off the wall, hit a piece of furniture, knocked a glass statue that was on the mantle onto the floor, breaking it in pieces. And then the baseball's final resting place was right in the middle of the coffee table. The glass coffee table. Shattered into all these pieces. Can you picture the look on my brother and I's face thinking, what have we just done? And then, what are we going to do about this? So do you know what my brother and I decided to do? We scotch taped the table back together. Like really, we took a whole roll of scotch tape and we taped every piece of glass back together. Now, after we finished scotch taping this table back together, I sent my brother back to break the news to my mom because he's the cute one. And he said, "Mom, something happened, but don't worry, we fixed it." And guess what? It didn't work. There are some things that scotch tape can't fix. There are some broken things that you can't fix yourself. And in those kind of moments, we might turn to scotch tape, but what we really needed was a Savior. And the good news about Christmas is that when baby Jesus was born, when the angel announced the birth of Jesus, the angel announced that a Savior had come. Not to fix us from broken coffee tables, but the angel explained about Mary that she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. There's the word save again. Jesus didn't come just to help us. Jesus didn't come just to advise us or counsel us or warn us. The angel announced that Jesus came to save us. And remember, the only reason that you need a Savior is if there's something that you can't fix yourself. And the thing that we couldn't fix ourselves, the reason that we needed a Savior to begin with, the reason that Christmas happened, was because we needed to be saved from our sin. Now, sin is a word that nobody likes to hear, especially when we're talking about us. And if you're like me, when we think of the word sin, we might think about broken rules. All those times we did the wrong thing. All those times when we didn't do what we were supposed to do. All of those times when we ignored what God wanted us to do and we did whatever we wanted to do instead. But Jesus didn't come just to address broken rules. Jesus came to address a broken relationship. The Bible tells us that one of the consequences of sin is that it separated us from God. Because of sin, our relationship with God was broken. And we understand this sort of thing in our own relationships, right? When somebody does something against us, that relationship is affected. Isn't that why we start sending their phone call straight to voicemail? Because after what they did to me, do they really think they could just call me whenever they want to? Declined, right? Or maybe because of what they did, we unfollow them on social media. Or we avoid them in social settings. Or if we can't avoid them, we get short with them. Gentlemen, if you get a text message from your wife or your girlfriend and it says, "It's fine," guess what? It's not fine. Nothing is fine. You did something and you better make it right. You need to fix it. So for the sake of your relationship, you better say you're sorry. You better buy some flowers. You better come up with a grand gesture to fix whatever is broken between the two of you. Isn't that what happens in our relationships? When we hurt each other, we hurt our relationship. And when it comes to our relationship with God, we are the ones that broke it. The prophet Isaiah says, "Your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you." Do you see how when it comes to our relationship with God, we are the ones that broke the coffee table? So what do? Grab the scotch tape, buy some flowers, make some sort of grand gesture. Well, Christmas tells us that it wasn't us that made the grand gesture to fix the broken relationship. It was God. Usually, when it comes to relationships, the one who broke it is the one who needs to take the first step to fix it. Unless the offended party cares so much about the relationship that they would do anything to repair it, even take the first step. When it comes to the birth of Jesus at Christmas, Matthew explains that all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. You see how it says that Jesus would be called by the name Emmanuel, which means God with us? Now, when it comes to people like us and God, maybe "with" is not the word that you're used to. Maybe when it comes to God, you might think that God is watching us. You know, trying to find out who's naughty or nice. He sees you when you're sleeping, that kind of thing. Maybe you have been thinking that when it comes to someone like you and God, you are not on his list because of all the things that have or haven't happened between you. Well, Christmas shows us that despite what we might think, God came to be with us. Not to come get us, not to punish us, not to test us, but to save us because he loves us. Maybe you've heard this verse before. It says that God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. This is the verse that they paint on the signs in the end zones of the football game. And it says that when it comes to people like us and God, God loves you. God loves you so much that he took the first step in repairing a relationship that we broke. And think about this, God is God. So he does know when you're sleeping, he does know when you're awake, he does know all of your good and all of your bad. He knows all of your broken rules, he knows all of your broken promises, he knows all about your broken relationships. And even knowing all of that about you in advance, he still took the first step. God loves you so much that no matter what you've done to break it, he still wanted a relationship with you. So he sent Jesus to be born to fix what we had broken. The very next verse after this one, it says, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. That is what Christmas celebrates. In the book of Ephesians, it says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Christmas celebrates that because of God's grace, he took the first step to restore a broken relationship with us. Even though he didn't have to do it, even though we didn't deserve it at all, God did it anyway. Because that's what God thinks about you. That's why Christmas happened. Or as this verse puts it, that is the gift of God. And here's the thing about gifts. Gifts are not supposed to be burdens. You know those commercials that they show at Christmas time? Where on Christmas morning, somebody walks out to the driveway and there's a brand new car with a big giant bow on it. You seen these commercials? Well, I always wonder, how does that work? Is the car totally paid for? Or is it like, Merry Christmas, I signed you up to pay $435 a month for the next 5 years? Because to me, that's not a very good gift. Because thanks for the car, but if I have to now live with the stress and the anxiety of earning this monthly payment, then no thanks. I hope I didn't ruin what somebody's got planned for tomorrow. But this gift, the one that we celebrate at Christmas, it's not our doing. It is the gift of God that we celebrate at Christmas, and it's what God has done for us. He sent his son Jesus to be born among us, to save us, because he loves us. So maybe this Christmas, you might find yourself looking at your life, and it's like a broken coffee table. But before you start reaching for the scotch tape, remember that God sent a Savior named Jesus, who was born to reach for people like you and for people like me. God loves you. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, tonight we get ready to celebrate what tomorrow represents, that you loved us so much that despite all of the brokenness in our life, beside all of the broken relationship, besides of our sin and our stubbornness, you loved us so much that you took the first step. And you sent Jesus to be born among us, to become a humble little baby, to live the life that we couldn't, to take the punishment that we deserved, so that we could have a right relationship with you. So God, tomorrow, in all the busyness and excitement, let us remember that the reason that all of this took place is that there is a God that loves us so much, he would do anything to have a relationship with us. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.